Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and only one New York City congressman voted no on health reform Sunday night, and he is a Democrat, Michael McMahon, a freshman from Staten Island and part of nearby Brooklyn. He is already paying a political price. The liberal and increasingly influential Working Families Party, which gave McMahon their line in 2008, will work against him this year. To talk about that and other things, and is the executive director of the Working Families Party, Dan Cantor. Hi, Dan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
First on Congressman McMahon, how will you work against him?
Well, let's back up for one second. His vote was disappointing to us, obviously, but it doesn't, we hope, derail too much from the kind of pleasure we feel in the overall outcome. So while we're disappointed in what Congressman McMahon did, this is a great accomplishment and a very proud day for everyone, one of the proudest days in our party's short history.
Here is Congressman McMahon on how the process looked to him. This is just 6 seconds, but it says a lot.
Down here, they call it log rolling. They don't call it arm twisting. And the logs were pretty big, and they were coming pretty fast.
Right.
So Congressman McMahon speaking on CBS Radio.
Right. So our state committee voted last week that we would not support any member of Congress who voted against the health reform bill. There are 25 Democrats from New York. Two voted no, one downstate, Congressman McMahon, and one upstate. So at the moment, the first thing we've done is we have decided that while we're normally not a single-issue party, this was so important that we were willing to draw a line in the sand and say, if you cross it, we will not be with you. So at the moment, what we've decided is we won't be supporting him, whether we'll be running against supporting a challenger to him, either McMahon or the upstate Democrat, remains to be seen. We'll see what unfolds over the next couple of months.
If you do launch another candidate on the Working Families line, do you risk being the Ralph Nader party of New York in a conservative district like Staten Island?
So the short answer to that is yes. And so that's why this is a complicated question. On the one hand, WFP was formed in some measure against that kind of approach. We're not a spoiler party. On the other hand, when Democrats vote like Republicans, a lot of our people say, well, what's the point? So we've got a serious question to figure out. I know ambiguity and ambivalence is not really allowed on talk radio, except maybe on your show. But the reason we don't know yet is we don't know yet. We want to look at this thing with some real care. There's a lot of anger as well as disappointment in what the congressman did. We think it was inexplicable from our point of view. So we'll have to balance a lot of different things and hopefully make an intelligent decision.
We just heard from Suffolk County Executive Steve Levy, now running as a Republican for governor. But the Working Families Party did endorse Levy in at least one of his previous races, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Did you change or did he change?
He changed. Maybe we weren't listening carefully enough, but he is running hard to the right these days. He's the kind of Democrat, listening to him now, he's the kind of Democrat that obviously preferred George Bush over his Democratic rivals. I mean, this is a surprise to us. New York has some serious fiscal problems, and we will get through them. But his kind of approach is to he's a divider, not a uniter. That seems to be his theme, and he's really going to try to put suburb against city, immigrant against citizen, and that kind of politics of divisiveness is not something that we think is good for our party or good for the state.
He seems to be mainly running on fiscal policies, and everybody knows the state is in a fiscal emergency. You heard his approach to solving it. Is there a Working Families approach to solving it? I mean, the deficit is the deficit.
Sure. So there's two things you have to do. You have to make cuts and you have to raise taxes. You have to do both things at the same time. Both you want to resist the dogma that says you can only raise taxes. No, you shouldn't only do that. You also want to figure out what are prudent cuts that you can also make. So to take things out of your toolbox ahead of time seems wrong to us. At the moment in New York, as last year, there were huge cuts last year, as well as stimulus money, as well as a high-end income tax. We need to get that balance right again this year because the alternative is enormous layoffs, enormous cuts to programs people depend on, and reduced economic activity, which is a downward cycle. This is what the County Executive Levy seems to be completely unaware of.
He might say there are no taxes left to raise.
Well, that's just not So, I mean, they're high. The bankers, for example, just got about $20 billion in bonuses in New York State. This was our money. This is taxpayer money. This isn't money that they earned through their sweat of their brow. In fact, they drove the economy off a cliff, and then we rewarded them for their work by giving them another $20 billion in TARP money and public dollars. Doesn't seem unreasonable to us to ask them to also pony up. People are going to be paying. People are going to pay in terms of higher subway fares and more crowded classrooms. And we need to keep pressure off of property tax. If you just cut school aid, for example, property taxes will go up. So it doesn't seem unreasonable to ask the bankers to kick in a little bit on the bonuses the way they've done in England and some other places. So that's one place to go. And there are others. There's some other things that people have talked about. You know, the right is capturing the moment here in terms of taxes. Nobody likes to see their taxes go up, me included. So we want to do it very carefully, and we also want to figure out what are the spending cuts that do the least harm.
Andrew Cuomo hasn't officially announced he's running for governor, but do you get any indication that he's on board with that kind of a plan?
No, we haven't discussed this with him yet. We'll push him in that direction, we hope, and he, of course, you know, he'll have his own views. You know, that's the role of the minor parties under the New York system, right? We're the ones who are supposed to say the things to the major parties that others either won't or can't. And I think WFP has done a pretty good job on this over the last decade, whether it was on minimum wage or energy efficiency through retrofits or Rockefeller drug law reform or taxes. So we try to say to leaders in both parties, we can actually do better. And our brand of common sense progressivism, we believe, is actually quite popular. And the election results seem to bear that out.
Dan Cantor, executive director of the Working Families Party, my guest on WNYC. The party is being investigated for possible improper campaign contributions to candidates through charging low prices for your related consulting firm data and field services. What would you like to say about the state of that investigation and whether you think you were skirting campaign finance rules?
Obviously, we don't think that at all. I mean, New York City has a very good campaign finance system with a very strong agency, the Campaign Finance Board, that runs it. And they audit every campaign after every election, and they're doing that right now, including the campaigns that we worked on. And what we think has happened here is that there were some pretty serious right-wing attacks on us, starting in the New York Post and Tom Golisano and the real estate crowd, and then some journalists who we think took things way out of proportion, blew things way out of context. And what would have been or should have been routine election audits are now being looked at by the U.S. attorney. It's no fun to be investigated, but if you're going to be investigated, they're the people you want investigating. They have a real reputation for professionalism and fairness. So we're quite confident in the outcome.
You did settle a lawsuit related to this in a Staten Island case with an agreement to detach the party from data and field services. Is that an admission that you mingled a business too closely with a political party?
No, not at all. We have to it requires some independence, not a full separation by any means. What's important here is, you know, we could have spent our entire annual budget fighting this lawsuit, and that would have been foolhardy. We need to stay focused on fighting on issues like we just saw in healthcare. We'll now turn our attention to financial reform and to paid sick days this Thursday in New York City. Working Families and our allies and Make the Road and Rock New York and so on are introducing a paid sick days bill that will give 1.5 million workers in New York paid sick days. Pretty good deal.
That's at the city level, and we've had guests on both sides of that. You want to handicap that vote at this point? Is that going to pass city council?
I'd bet on our side on this one. I think we have made both the moral and economic argument and public health argument. You don't want McDonald's workers showing up for work sick. And that's what you do if you can't take a day off and get paid.
Employers argue that it would mean fewer jobs because it's going to mean more cash out of their pockets, so they're going to lay some people off in order to balance the books.
Yeah, it doesn't seem credible to us. That would suggest that McDonald's or whoever is padding their payrolls now. They're hiring excess people just because they want to. We don't buy it. I think what you'll see, as in other places where they have paid sick days, there's people don't abuse it. They use it when they're sick, and others fill in. So
smaller businesses? I mean, McDonald's is an easy target. What if I have three employees? They don't currently get sick days. Now they're going to get sick days, and I've got just this margin of profit to keep me in business.
You may have to raise prices a nickel. The average cost is about, I think it's about 40 cents a day per worker over the course of the year. So it's not a huge cost. And people get sick regardless, right? It's not like they're going to not get sick. Do you want them coming in and getting other people sick, co-workers sick? You can make the argument, as many people have, many economists have, that this is actually good for business, not bad. And many business people, by the way, support this. The Hispanic Federation, the Korean American Association, they've actually come out in support of this. There are others who are on the other side. That's politics. We'll have a battle about it, and we'll see how the votes come down.
The Working Families Party in New York was also affiliated with ACORN, which is now disbanded here and is reorganizing under a new name and charter. Bertha Lewis had been director of ACORN and co-chair of the Working Families Party at the same time. Do ACORN's troubles affect the party financially at all?
Doesn't affect us financially, though. We're very sad to see what's happened to them. This was a tremendously well-orchestrated attack, again, beginning with Fox. The New York Times offered a sort of half apology on Sunday for not covering it more carefully. Whatever mistakes they made, the punishment did not fit the crime, and they were undone by kind of this barrage and the Congress voting quite unconstitutionally to withdraw their funding. Nevertheless, they've reorganized, and they are still out knocking on doors and organizing poor people. And poor people need someone to help organize because they don't have as much power in the society as
But
as
no
others.
Direct effect on the Working Families Party?
Not financially, and they haven't decided. The new organization hasn't decided whether they will affiliate with WFP. Mm-hmm. We hope they will, but it's up to them to decide.
Any other effect?
It's just the overall social effect of having an important ally weakened is not something you ever like to see happen. But I think
because they were good at get out the vote.
They
and
were
that
good
kind of
at
thing.
Get out the vote. They were good at sort of pushing elected officials in the right direction. They were good at amplifying the issues that often get overlooked. So we'll hope strenuously that they will revive and come back even stronger.
And what about ACORN services to the poor? Is this something you're looking at? Any thoughts on how thoroughly those are being replaced so far? Or where the gaps might be? That's the real tragedy in this.
It's certainly one of them. It's not something that the WFP will be able to fill in on. That's not our core competency. I think New York Communities for Change, which is the name of the reconfigured or the new organization, will obviously try to do some of that stuff. It'll take them a little while to rebuild. And, you know, I'm just hoping that they succeed. I have a lot of confidence in them. There's some very talented people.
Talk about the Times apologizing for some of its reporting on the ACORN story. How about the Taxi and Limousine Commission? Should they apologize to taxi drivers for grossly overestimating the number who were systematically cheating riders?
I don't ride taxis that frequently, but I did ride one yesterday, and I asked the driver, and he was on fire about how unfair this was. So maybe they do owe an apology.
We have about 30 seconds left. There's so much at stake in New York in this state election year. Anything else you want to say about guiding principles for who to endorse or how to close the scary budget deficit?
I look at what just happened in Washington. The Democrats, for whatever reason, spined up. The President Obama and Speaker Pelosi really injected some backbone, and it was the right thing to do. We don't need to worry about phony bipartisanship with Republicans who have no interest in being bipartisan. So let's do what we know the American people want, what New Yorkers want, and see what happens.
And you're not going to run necessarily a candidate on a line against Congressman McMahon for voting no on health care. Will you back somebody in a Democratic primary against him?
Well, we don't know that either. We have to see who emerges. We have to see what our allies and our members in the district think. At the moment, we know we won't be supporting him. Whether it goes further than that, time will tell.
Dan Cantor, Executive Director of the Working Families Party of New York. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.